now? Can you hear me now? Is that good? There we go. I think. Well, we are the congregation that defines words, aren't we? Last week, we defined the word patience. And what I understand is that patient as being patient is being long-suffering. And now we know what rejoicing is about. I think it's about being joyful again. I think that's what I get, rejoice, yeah. We have another word to define this morning. It's the word kindness, or kind. What does it mean to be kind? Yeah, you can't fall asleep in this one. Everybody's needed. Kind, what does kind mean? Any thought? Yes, Kristen. Whoops. Thought. Funny, isn't it? We use, what is it? Ooh, I like it. Treat others the way you'd want to be treated. Sounds like a familiar ring, doesn't it? Kindness. Okay, Joe, what's the definition? Joe has the gift of mercies. Compassion just rolls out of any explanation that he gives. That's perfect. Yeah. Show love, though I heard. Literally, the word that is translated kind means, this might surprise you, but it means to show yourself useful. Show yourself useful. And I think we're going to get to why that is important, or why that's a good definition for it this morning. So anyway, last week, one of the passages that we went over is one of the most repeated passages in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13. You hear it at many weddings. And the first thing that's mentioned is love is patient. But the very next thing that is mentioned is that love is kind. So if you put these things together, you have the fact that love, if you're a loving person, you can suffer for a long time and still be useful. Still be useful. In other words, this person has annoyed me all my life, but I, and this is what we got from last week also, patience is a matter of looking beyond the present, not being nearsighted, looking beyond the present to something beyond the here and now that I'm waiting for, that this will be good for. My suffering will produce some good. Kindness adds another smack on top of it, is kind. You know, Romans 2 says that God's kindness leads us to repentance. I'm not completely, and there's probably more than one meaning to that, really. But the fact that God is kind was in operation, like Joe is saying here, it was in operation in his drawing us to himself. Read the Old Testament. I just finished Judges, and it doesn't look too cool when people are in charge. The last verse in Judges says there was no king in the land in those days. Everybody did just what was right in their own eyes. And it was horrible. It was horrible. We'd be in the same boat had God's kindness not operated in our lives to draw us to himself. So it shows itself useful. I'm remembering 1 John 3:17 says, whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how's the love of God abide in him? Kindness is action. Kindness produces action that is visible. You can't have love if you are not kind, because kindness is contained in love. We don't become loving by being kind. Kindness is one of those fruits of the Spirit, and it's also a part of love, we learned from 1 Corinthians 13. So what I want, here's my sentence message for us this morning. I should practice kindness. This is what, when you leave today, I am hoping that each of us will be encouraged to think, I should practice kindness. So let's pray now. And then I have quite a few thoughts I want to share with you, obviously. Father, thank you so much. You are obviously the example. We sang of your holiness. You are holy. We just sang this song. You rescued us, and you romanced our souls. How did you do it? I don't know, but you were kind in doing so. Absolutely kind. Teach us. Teach us how we can practice kindness. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want to say about kindness is that it's for everybody. It doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your gender, doesn't matter your station in life. It is for every person. Kindness is for every person. Proverbs 3, verse 3, there's a dad talking to his son, and he says to his son, his young son, he says, don't let kindness and truth leave you. Don't let it leave you, son. Are you hearing me? Don't let it leave you, son. This is incredibly important, son, that you develop a life of kindness and start now. Show yourself useful now. Proverbs 19, 22 says, what is desirable in a man is kindness. What's desirable in a man is kindness. And Proverbs 31, I think it's 26, says, of an excellent wife, the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Is that what you aspire to, your moms, or to be moms, to be kind, to have your brood and to teach them to be kind? Take this to your brother. Hey, would you go take care of dad's need? He was calling for this. Go, you go do it. Teach kindness. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So it doesn't matter if you're a mom or a dad or a child. Kindness is for you. In fact, Proverbs 20, verse 11 says, it is by his deeds, that's kindness, it's by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself. To be distinguished means to be recognized. There's something about this person. To be recognized. Tim gave some accolades to Aiden and Noah. They did a good job yesterday. That's what is desirable in a young man. It is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself, if his conduct is pure and right. Many years ago, our kids were privileged to be able to go to, we call them HSLTs, High School Leadership Training, basically youth conferences. And we heard many, many, many good teachings our kids did. And our oldest son, Timothy, was really caught by a message that Mark Darling gave on being an impact player for Christ. And it grabbed him. It fits Tim. He's just a go-getter, and it fit him. And he determined to go back to his school of 2,000 individuals, and he would be the busboy. He would take their trays, ask if he could take their tray. He'd bus their tables. Tim gave hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rides to kids that were in need of a ride. He spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars on ice cream. That might not have been a need, but it was sure appreciated. And what do you know? He became distinguished. You are a city on a hill. God wants us to be kind to one another, and it'll shine. This is God's will. In a school of 2,000 individuals at Ames, Iowa, anyway, they have this thing called Homecoming King. I don't know what it's about, but I know it's a popularity contest. And usually you got to be a stud on the football team or somebody in the band. Those two pools kind of have this aura. People know them, and so a bunch of people vote. Tim was in neither. The principal caught us at the ceremony when it's announced, and he said the voting was nowhere near close. It was an absolute landslide because he had distinguished himself. It is by our kind deeds that we are distinguished. And so this morning, I want to share with you three arenas, three examples, three areas that we can practice kindness in. And I hope as we go through this, this will just resonate, and this is what you'll think. I should be kind. I should practice kindness. The first area that I want to go over is the area of responsibility. Responsibility, and we can display a certain kind of kindness. And this is really a big one, honestly, that covers needs that are just current. Let me give you the example first from 1 Samuel 25. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the man's name was Nabal. And his wife's name was Abigail, and she was an intelligent and beautiful woman. But the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite. Hey, that's just an aside. But anyway, that David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name, and thus you shall say, have a long life, peace be to you, and peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. And now I've heard that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us." David had about 600 men with him at this time running around from Saul. And these shepherds were with David. "And we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything." In other words, we didn't steal anything from them. We actually protected them all the days that they were in Carmel. "Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please give whatever you find at hand to your servants and to your son, David." When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in David's name. And then they waited. But Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who's David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are each breaking away from their master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I've slaughtered for my shears and give it to men whose origin I don't know?" His attitude. So David's young men retraced their way and went back, and they came and told him according to all these words. And David said, "Each of you gird on his sword." We're going. We are going. So each man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. About 400 men went up behind David, while 200 stayed with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them." One thing I want you to pick up from this passage is people knew about David. No news. No nightly news. Word traveled. People knew about David. They knew what was going on. They knew he was running from Saul, and they knew he was anointed to be king. That's important in this story. "Yet the men," this is still the servant talking to Abigail, "yet the men were very good to us, and we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything as long as we went about with them while we were in the field. They were a wall to us. They were a wall to us by night and day. By day, and all the time we were with them tending the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you should do, for evil is plotted against our master and against all his household, and he's such a worthless man that no one can speak to him." Isn't that something? Then Abigail hurried, it must be true. It's in the scriptures. "Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread and 2 jugs of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 measures of roasted grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her young men, 'Go on before me. Behold, I'm coming after you.' But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And it came about as she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden part of the mountain that, behold, David and his men were coming down toward her. So she met them. Now David had said, 'Surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he has returned me evil for good. May God do so to the enemies of David, and more so, if by morning I leave as much as one male of any who belong to him.' When Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey and fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. And she fell at his feet and said, 'On me alone, my lord, be the blame. And please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. Please do not let my lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he.'" It means forget. You, worthless? I can't remember. Was it fool? It means fool. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood, I believe she's referring to the fact that he did not kill Saul. The word got out. I think that's what she's referring to here. As the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself on your own by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. And now let this gift, which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, be given to the young men who accompany my Lord. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you all your days. And should anyone rise up and pursue you to seek your life, then the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he'll sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And it shall come about when the Lord shall do for my Lord according to all the good he has spoken concerning you. So she knew that he had been anointed. And shall appoint you ruler over Israel, that this shall not cause grief or a troubled heart to my Lord, both by having shed blood without cause and by my Lord having avenged himself. When the Lord shall deal well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. What's the effect of that? And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me, and blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. Nevertheless, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would not have been left in Nabal until morning light as much as one male. This is a serious matter. This was a serious matter. So David received from her hand what she brought him, and he said to her, go up to your house in peace. See, I have listened to you and granted your request. So Abigail practiced kindness, many hundreds of raisin cakes worth of kindness, figs and sheep and so on. But she did it as a responsibility. She did it because the whole family was in jeopardy. And she took action on behalf of the family. And what I'm saying is this is one major, major, major area of kindness that we can practice. It's the practice of responsibility. Kindness relative to responsibility. Every day when we meet here, there are many, many things that we can and need to do in order that it be at least as good a shape when we leave as when we came. It's just a kindness. This morning, you know, it rained a little bit last week and the classrooms were just filthy. There's dirt everywhere. So we swept the floor. This is just what you do. There are many, many, many areas of kindness. I was pleased when the boys brought the communion up for the guys on stage. That's a thought. Here's a need. You can't be doing this and going over there at the same time. So they met a need. And it brought me hope again. By the way, I think that in these different stations of life, our actions bring about a different effect. When our youth are kind, I think it brings us hope. Like Tim was saying, there's a future for you. That's the idea. It just, we get it. Hey, that has future. When a man practices kindness, I think it gives security. I can make it. If this guy is with me, I can make it. He is for me. I know. When a woman practices kindness, many times it brings us wholeness or encouragement or comfort. Isn't that amazing? If a woman bakes a plate of cookies and a man bakes a plate of cookies, I think they have a different effect when they're delivered. God just designed us uniquely to have a full orbed effect. I should practice kindness. Because you never know what effect I might have versus what you might have. I should practice kindness. Anyway, responsibility. There's just so many, so many, so many responsibilities. There's responsibilities in a household to take care of it, to vacuum the floors, to do all the house cleaning. Obviously, the cooking, the cleaning, and so forth. There are many, many, many ways of responsible kindness. much. How about your vehicle? You know, vehicle gets dirty. In the classroom back there, there's a poster of some kids washing a car, and I think the thing on it says, I forgot, show yourself useful. I can't remember what it says. Anyway, there's kindness involved. There are needs everywhere. Needs. When we have a meal here together, you know, this has been kind of instructive to me. I don't know why I'm always piddling around with something, but I always find something to do. We always encourage the women and children to go first anyway, and so I find some things to do. By the time I get to the table, some are returning for seconds, and there is not much left. And I'm just saying, kindness is this. What are the needs? A kind person in responsibility simply says, what are the needs? You walk around the tables and you see that somebody's glass is empty. Offer to fill it. It's just a small thing. And by the way, another Proverbs 19 has a lot in it about generosity. A generous man, everybody entreats the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. That's one aspect of kindness. But there's another that costs nothing. You don't have to be rich. All you have to be is all you have to do is prefer another person. Romans 12 says, giving preference to one another in honor. I want to go here. Well, I want to go there. Okay, we'll go here. Didn't cost you a thing. That's kindness. It's kindness in operation. Responsible kindness. That might be a little bit loyalty, but I'm thinking of when you think of kindness, think of needs. If the definition is that kindness shows itself useful, then there must be needs. Look for them. They're everywhere. They are absolutely everywhere. Kindness of responsibility. Next area of kindness is the kindness of loyalty. Loyalty. And I won't take the time to read. I'm afraid I'm going to go long. Anyway, I'm not going to read these, but you know the four chapters of Ruth. Probably one of the best examples of the kindness of loyalty we have in the scriptures. So here was a woman named Naomi, and she and her husband and two boys went over to Moab because it was kind of a famine in Israel. And while they were in Moab, her husband died, and so did both of her sons. They had both married, and now they were dead, so there she was without anyone. Then she heard that things had improved back in Israel, so she went back, and she encouraged her daughters-in-law to say goodbye. Ruth wouldn't have it. It says she clung to her. Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful words. But she lived it. She didn't just speak it. She lived it. She came to Israel, became a proselyte, or whatever you would call it. She was converted to the Jewish faith. But the important thing that I'm trying to share with you is that she was extremely kind. It was said of her. Word gets around. Always gets around. It was said to Naomi, this girl has been better to you than many sons. I forget. Was it seven? I think it says seven sons. She went out. As soon as she got back to Moab, she went out. It happened to be the harvest of barley. And so in the Jewish law, God, of course, the kind person, the merciful person, had much in the law concerning showing mercy. One of those things was, as you're harvesting your wheat or your barley, if something falls out of your bundle, don't pick it up. That's for the gleaners. The poor in your midst can go around. Don't harvest the edges of your field. Just leave that for the gleaners. So Ruth went out to seek sustenance for her and for her mother-in-law, and God was gracious, and she came back with a full load, and you know the story. She and Boaz got connected there, and the point is that she was extremely loyal. Kindness is loyalty, or loyalty involves kindness. Proverbs says that a brother is born for the day of of adversity. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. It can be taken two ways. It can be taken for when you're going through an adversity, I am born for you. Or it can be taken the other way, that my life is supposed to be, and I expect adversity when you're having trouble. Anyway, there's a loyalty aspect to kindness. Another example of it was David with Jonathan, of loyalty. David and Jonathan, David being extremely loyal to Jonathan. David and Jonathan were, they got to know one another when David was in Saul's temple, palace. And they were one in heart because they shared a reverence for God. That's the purest kind of loyalty. Jonathan knew that David had been anointed, and that struck interest in Jonathan because he revered the Lord as well. And says that their love was better than the love of women. It was such a camaraderie between David and Jonathan. Then there came a day when both Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle on the same day. And David grieved. And he wrote a song basically about Saul, but a little bit about Jonathan also. He wrote a song so that all of Israel could remember their first leader, who had been such a nuisance to David. But David honored the office of the king. And years went by after David then became king, and finally one day he said, "Hey, isn't there anything we can do for Jonathan and his household and his family? Isn't there something we can do?" That is the heart of kindness. Isn't there something I can do? Something? And he found out that Jonathan had a son, Mephibosheth, who was lame. He got dropped when he was about Leland's age, and he became crippled in his feet. And David called for him and said, "You come live with me in my palace." And for the rest of his life, Mephibosheth ate at David's table because of loyalty, a promise made. Loyalty is part of kindness. There is an aspect. This is something you can practice. Proverbs says, "Don't forsake your friend or your father's friend." It's better to have a neighbor who is near than a brother far away. Develop your relationship. Be kind. Be loyal to those around you. This is a kindness. The last area that I want to focus on is called the extra mile kindness. And I'm referring to Matthew 5, of course. Just read a couple of verses here. "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." That's the justice of the Jewish law. "But I say to you, do not resist him who is evil, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. And whoever shall force you to go 1 mile, go with him too." You see how the new covenant is beyond justice. It's mercy in operation. When I think of this, I think of some of the inspections that we have done, and people can be very presumptive sometimes. I've inspected for several divorcees, and these ladies are just beside themselves with need. And they become very, very demanding, very presumptive. "I expect you to do this." "Not my job." "It's not my job." It needs to leave our vocabulary. Kindness goes beyond my job. It is my job. If somebody spills juice on the floor, I can't say, "Well, I didn't spill it. It's not my job. Not my job." It is your job. Kindness demands it. So we inspected for this lady. I'll call her Sally. And I noticed right away when she was there tagging along in this inspection that, oh boy, this is going to be a hot one. He's picky, picky, picky about everything, pointing out all the bad things about the house. And sure enough, went through the inspection, wrote up a big report. She didn't take the house. I thought, oh no, oh no. Sure enough, she called again, found another house for us to go through. And I went over there and again went through the house, just normally the way we do it. And so she took my list of things that could use improvement, and she demanded that everything be done, and then she demanded that I come back and make sure that it was done. Well, that's really beyond what we do. I do this. I usually charge a fee because my work is to do an inspection. But I went back, and she didn't really accuse me necessarily, but she was expecting me to make her house perfect. That was her expectation. She's hurting. And this is what solved the riddle for me. Oh, she's hurting. She's hurting. I didn't hurt her, but she's hurting. That's why she calls and calls and calls and calls. After the inspection, even. Calls, calls. What about this? What about this? What about asbestos? Sorry, I don't do asbestos. And I don't take asbestos samples. I ended up taking asbestos samples and sending them in. There was one area that was a 9 by 3 foot area where the washer and dryer sat that was on some tile, and she wondered if there was asbestos in those tiles. Like she's going to be there, they're covered up. She had to know if there was asbestos in those tiles. And so I garbed all up and I got all this done. Here's the interesting thing. When I was done with that inspection, we probably talked at least 15 times. It just went on and on. The realtor said, "Bob, how did you do that? She thinks you're the best thing in the world." And I thought, well, I know how I did that. I just noticed that she had need, and I determined. Does this trouble you? Turn the other cheek. Whoops, sorry. Turn the other cheek. Give, 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 give. Does that make it feel like, what are you talking about? I'll die. Proverbs says things like this, you know. Reprove a wise man, and then it turns around and says, don't reprove a foolish man. How does it say it? Was it? Fool? Fool, yeah. Don't reprove a fool, lest you be like him. And then it turns around and says, reprove a fool, lest he be wise in his own eyes. What this is saying is there is a time for turning the other cheek. There is a time for going the extra mile. I just read in Proverbs this morning, don't become surety. We have the liberty to choose. I am giving myself. This woman has great need. I think I can do that. Okay, okay, okay. I'm going to give myself to this person's need. We just had another one this week. Another divorced woman. I know I've had at least 10, probably 15 calls or texts in this whole process. What she was trying to get me to say was that the seller was being unreasonable. And all the while I'm thinking, no, lady, it's not the seller. You got this thing a little bit mixed up here. Seller basically bent over backwards. He put in a new water heater for her. He put in a radon mitigation system for her. She wanted me to be there at the final walkthrough, I think, so that I could trap the seller with some unreasonable thing. And I went. And that was costly. It has been an extremely busy week for us. I think we had 9 inspections this week, and plus our outreach things, very, 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 very busy. So this was costly, but again, I recognize need. There are needs. Kindness and needs go together. There are many kinds of needs. So I've wanted to share with you this morning about the kindness of responsibility. Notice things. When we're done, and you guys are getting good, better and better at this, and this is what the language of the New Testament is. Indeed, you do this, but excel still more. There will be many needs when we finish this morning. Chairs to pick up. cage to take down, everything to fold up and put on the trailer, floor to clean again somewhat, although I think we're in pretty good shape here. And we should be thinking, I should be kind. I should, whatever it is, sweep the floor. I should pick up the chairs. I should mop. If there's hot chocolate, we often spill hot chocolate. Look for those spots. I can show you where the mop is. And what I'm wanting us to feel like is the field is wide open. There are many needs. And maybe God wants you to pitch in and meet the need. We were commiserating a little bit about Doug's problem there with only a few people showing up. It's always always hard when people don't show up for work that needs to be done. When an audience is kind, people show up. In other words, the mindset of kindness is, there is a need, I can meet it. God, unless you show me otherwise, I'm there. I'm there. That's what I'm for. He who wishes to save his life will lose it. Our lives are for investment. They are for giving and giving and giving way beyond. How can God teach us endurance if we don't push and engage in things that seem to be beyond us? This is the flavor of kindness. And I look forward to this when people come in our midst. This is so evident that it wows people. When people come in our midst and you all are kind to one another, noticing needs, taking care of needs, can I get you this? We put your chairs out. Can we get your chairs? You know, that kind of thing. It stands out. And people are one to the Lord because He is the source. You know, in that 1 Corinthians 13 passage, these aren't 16 qualities that you put them all together and you come up with love. These are 16 qualities that come out of love, and we don't got it. He does. He's the abundant source. And when there is a need that stresses us, I don't feel like I can meet that need, that's usually the time that we can appeal to God and say, God, do you want me to? Because if you do, you've got all the resources that I need to go ahead and do this. Okay, I'm in. I'm all in. That's what we desire. And by the way, this goes together also that you're, many of you have taken this up of having a quiet time. I tell you, that just inspires so much hope because you'll never put on love any other way. This is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not going to come from you. Patience isn't. Kindness isn't. Patience loves kind. Jealousy is. And so on and so on and so on and so on. When the Holy Spirit is filling you up, this just comes out. Then it's just a matter of where is the need and one little decision. You want me to be part? Remember how David used to ask God, do you want me to go up? God would say, yep, go up. You'll be successful. Same thing. God plans that you will reign in life. Romans 5 says, what does that mean? I think it means that you'll be successful, that you'll be effective. And God has good deeds prepared for you to walk in kindness. And I think that's what I have to share with you this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your kindness. Thank you that you're good all the time. And I just thank you that you are doing this in our midst. It is so exciting to watch. I loved watching Noah and Aiden this morning. That was beautiful. Indeed, God. Children can be kind. Men can be kind. Women can be kind. Teach us, please. When and how. Open our eyes to see the needs. And then bring us to that decision. I will. In Jesus' name.